Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today, I'm joined on the line by the Globe and Mail's television critic, John Doyle, in Toronto. He has the lowdown on the shows to look out for this month, and it looks like 1980s crime dramas are a popular choice. We'll investigate the Colombian drug cartels of the era through notorious drug lord Pablo Escobar in Narcos. Then we'll nip over to New York for Show Me a Hero, which explores racial tension in Yonkers. After that, we'll break the mold slightly with an LA zombie apocalypse in Fear the Walking Dead. All that to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, John. Now, we've got lots of exciting picks to talk about this week, but I do want to ask you a bit first about your recent trip to LA. Hopefully, no zombie apocalypses greeted you, but you were fresh off the plane from the TV Critics Fall previews, where I guess some of that sort of stuff must have been up for discussion.
Indeed it was, and yes, the Television Critics Association press tour, which happens in January and late July every year, is where about 100-150 TV critics from across North America gather in LA, and then the networks and each of the cable outfits, which seems to be keep expanding, they basically do a dog and pony show, present their wares to us, have panel discussions, present actors, producers, etc. for interviews. It's a very odd institution in the entertainment business in that it's not a junket. The TV critics, we pay our own way, airfare, hotel, everything, and the broadcasters put on their best show for us. But talking of zombies, the whole tour can last in the summer for 2.5 weeks. That's 2.5 weeks every day, including weekends, of concentrating on television, and some of the critics do look like zombies at the end of that.
Well, tell us a little bit about what the... I don't know if there's themes that really emerge from it, John, but I guess a lot of people are looking at, you know, how to score, you know, the next big hit or to create the next. And is it kind of Game of Thrones that's been so dominant? Is everyone after what could be their Game of Thrones?
Yes, they are. Everybody is looking out for the same kind of phenomenon, the same kind of big story with a mythology, with violence, with sex, with that has everything in it that is going to have the same kind of impact. There was a search for the next Game of Thrones. One candidate that is clearly on the radar for that category is a show on AMC called Into the Badlands, which is highly elaborate, very expensively made, has a dense mythology. It's set in some kind of world where the world essentially stopped in 1970, and everything went wrong. There's an entirely new society. It's built on tribes. Opium is the currency of it. Opium and violence. There's a lot of martial arts violence in it. It looks stunning. I can't speak to the quality of it because I didn't see enough, but it certainly looks stunning. I would describe it as kind of Game of Thrones with motorbikes.
What's not to like about that, John? One imagines there'll be a few other rivals in there trying to get that sort of new Game of Thrones moniker. Let's, though, move on and talk about a couple of shows that you're going to look at in a bit more detail, some of the things that are coming our way. And I mentioned that we're looking at, sort of crime dramas, a bit of period feel, and that's certainly very evident when we look through the autumn schedules to Narcos. This is a crime drama, 80s Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar, who's, I'm sure we talk about mythology, this is a guy who had that in by the bucket load. Tell us about this series, because one imagines it's going to start with some pretty high expectations for it.
It is, and these three series actually will be airing and available around the world over the next few weeks during the month of August. Narcos is the latest original drama from Netflix, and it is probably their best in some time. It is something that is drawn out of the South American market for Netflix, one of the key stories, which is about the Colombian drug trade. On the surface, it's a sort of action thriller about the drug trade in the 1980s when cocaine hit Miami and a tsunami of violence and money came along with it. We follow two DEA agents who are dealing with this in Miami in the 1980s, where everything suddenly goes from dealing with marijuana and weed to dealing with cocaine. According to the American government policy of the time, the DEA goes to Colombia to try to stop the cocaine at its source, and that means bringing down Pablo Escobar. This is a much more subtle and nuanced drama, however, than the surface story would suggest. To begin with, Escobar, who has been portrayed in many movies and TV series as a kind of cunning drug lord buffoon, is a much more complex character here. He's played by the great Brazilian actor Wagner Moura. And in fact, the key thing to remember about Narcos is that it is largely the creation of José Padilla, who is the Brazilian filmmaker who made the Elite Squad movies and could be considered one of Brazil's leading intellectuals. He takes a very political perspective. So while on the surface this is an action drama about getting Escobar, it's really about how the United States has failed in its drug policies over 30 years, and how anti-drug policies have affected various countries and cultures in South America. So it's something that people can watch as a thriller, and at the same time, on another level, grasp that something very subversive politically is going on here.
Let's take a quick listen. This is a clip from Narcos, which is coming soon to Netflix.
I'm Steve Murphy, drug enforcement agent.
79, the bad guys I was chasing wore flip-flops.
DEA! Stop! Are you running, huh? What you got? What is that?
When I started, a 1 kilo grass bust was cause for celebration. Before long, we were seizing 60 kilos of coke a day. The hippies had been replaced by Colombians, and these guys didn't wear flip-flops. We were witnessing the formation of the famed Medellin cartel. There was Jose Rodriguez Gacha, the Ochoa brothers, and last but not least, Pablo Escobar.
That's The Sound of Narcos, which is released on Netflix on the 28th of August. Let's move on, John, and talk. Well, let's keep it in the sort of crime sort of territory with this next one, Show Me a Hero, viewing a bitter public housing desegregation battle in Yonkers, New York, through the eyes of the youngest mayor the city's ever had, the short-lived Nick Vachisco. David Simon's the man behind this one. He also created the extremely popular show The Wire. Now, he said that he doesn't expect anybody to watch this, which I find a rather interesting opening gambit.
Well, that is David Simon speaking. He is very self-deprecating, and he still describes himself often these days as, you know, a journalist, not so much a TV auteur. It being the work of David Simon, however, it is absolutely essential viewing in terms of the context of contemporary American drama. Having created The Wire, which some people would consider one of the great masterpieces of American storytelling of the last century or so, this is smaller scale, but has very profound implications. It is, as David Simon himself jokingly says, it's 6 hours about public housing in a part of New York City. It is based on a true and tragic story. A young councilman in Yonkers in the early 80s, he's only 28 years old. He is encouraged to run for office against the sitting, long-standing mayor. He does, and he wins. What he doesn't realize while he's winning, and only happens afterwards, is that it was less an endorsement of him than it was a rejection of the sitting mayor on the issue of the mayor refusing to fight a court order to end public housing segregation in New York. The public essentially was wary of poor black families being moved into their nice white neighborhoods, which is what the court had ordered, because Yonkers, as a small city, had engaged in segregation and housing for years. So this young mayor is thrown into this maelstrom of what becomes a class and race war. Everything that could go wrong goes wrong. He, as a man, is destroyed by it. And what we see in these 6 hours, which, by the way, are directed by Paul Haggis, what we see is council meetings, mundane affairs of municipal politics brought to life, but seething all the time under the surface is this race war, this class rage. And the way David Simon sees it, and what he wants us to see, is that this small-scale story that happened in the 1980s in Yonkers is happening over and over and over again in the United States. He would ask us to link it to Ferguson, to Baltimore, to the killings in Charleston, and he is using it to ask a mainly American audience to face up to the fact that there is this systemic racist attitude in public institutions in the United States. And by telling this story, he wants us to face the fact that it is like a vicious cycle that has to end.
Let's take a listen to this one. This is from Show Me a Hero on HBO.
I'm going to take your stance!
It's time you recognized your failure as a leader.
You should have let me down now.
You want to live where people were angry at you?
You should have took your shape.
You know, it's all property values and life and liberty. Underneath it all, it's fear. I played into that fear, too.
Quite a year for you, Mr. Mayor.
Justice is not about popularity.
No, it's not. But politics is.
Now, John, you've got, as you mentioned, David Simon, you've got Paul Haggis, Oscar-winning director, you've got Oscar Isaac, the hot property actor. Is this one of those cases where it all just does come together and you get all of that quality and it really delivers?
It does indeed, yes. I was taken aback by the quality of it. I shouldn't have been, given that David Simon is involved, but it is very compelling, given the fact that it is based on what are really banal, mundane events in a small city, Yonkers, in New York, back in the 1980s. Simon is, as always, able to sort of bring a journalistic quality to the drama. His ability to sort of present this texture in which you have compelling drama that is based on fact and is reflective of ordinary everyday life and the tensions under those, his ability to do that is remarkable.
Let's end, John, by talking about Fear the Walking Dead, zombie apocalypse thriller we mentioned at the top. We've had a few of these. I wonder whether some viewers will be finding that, you know, they've had their fill of the zombie apocalypse. Do you think this one, though, can go the same way as some of the others? The Walking Dead itself, for example?
I think so. I think you can guarantee it. The Walking Dead is the sort of king of the zombie apocalypse series, and it is a monster in terms of ratings in television in the U.S. and Canada. The numbers it gets when it is on with new episodes and airs on Sunday nights, the numbers it gets are you know, put what the networks, which are network channels that are much more easily available to most people, it puts them to shame. It is a phenomenon. And that is for a multitude of reasons, one of which is that the Walking Dead has always been a series that you can read anything into. There's a political subtext to it. There's a very human subtext. It's about a small group of characters who are sort of wandering in rural America looking for a refuge. And there is absolutely no reluctance to wipe out major characters that the audience is sympathetic with. That is part of the grab you factor to it. But it's also powerful in its meaning, because you could read into it that The Walking Dead is about, you know, people's fear of AIDS, of SARS, of Ebola. You could also say it's a paranoid fantasy about the government disappearing and individualists being left to forge a new American society. So with Fear the Walking Dead, you have a built-in audience for it.
I'll ask you a bit more about it in a moment, but let's have a little listen first of all. This is a little teaser from Fear the Walking Dead.
Your son is lucky. Witnesses said he ran into traffic.
He was high.
He was ranting.
What happened?
Everyone was dead.
There was
blood.
You think that's what you saw was a nightmare? Hallucinations?
Safer in numbers.
Safer from what?
They don't know if it's a virus or a microbe. They don't know, but it's spreading.
That's from Fear the Walking Dead. John tells us we've got a limited season of six, and then a second season up to 15 episodes, which will air next year. So as you say, they're clearly anticipating a ready market. What do you think about the sort of production team, the creators and showrunners for this one? Have they got the smarts to continue delivering?
From what I've seen, yes. I've seen the first few episodes of it, and some of the people involved with the whole Walking Dead franchise or enterprise are involved with it. It is extremely well made. It is a great thriller. It is edge of your seat stuff. And what's interesting and what's good about it is that it's a prequel of sorts. That is, it takes you back to the time before the events of The Walking Dead even started. And it is a very different setting. It's urban. It's Los Angeles. And it's set at the time when people are only beginning to realize that there's something wrong. There's some kind of infection, some disease, something is turning a certain number of people in society into these flesh-eating zombies. So it's also about a family, a sort of dysfunctional blended family. Two people have married. It's their second marriage. There's a bunch of kids who don't really get along. They become the core characters, and they witness the fall of a big American city to this infectious plague. They witness the rise of the zombies, and they have to figure out how to survive in this. It really is edge of your seat stuff. It feels like a great horror movie, expertly made, and at the same time, it's not dumb. It's very smart about societal issues. As you heard in the clip, there was an issue with drugs. What happens when somebody who is a drug addict is stuck in a zombie apocalypse and there are no drugs anymore? So there are all kinds of things going on in it. I think it's excellent entertainment, and the fact that they have already made this many episodes tells you they have great faith in it, and I think they're probably right.
Fantastic. That's Fear the Walking Dead, released on 23rd of August at 9 p.m. on AMC. And that brings us to the end of today's programme. Special thanks to our guest in Toronto, John Doyle. John, great to speak with you as always. This has been the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Thanks too to our producer, Holly Fisher, and researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We're back at the same time tomorrow for this week's book review. Join us then. But for now, goodbye. Thanks for listening.